Have you ever craved bacon for breakfast after seeing a doctor recommend it on TV? Or felt compelled to buy a piano after visiting a friend's elegant music room? These aren't coincidental desires. They're calculated results of propaganda, as revealed in Edward Bernays' groundbreaking 1928 work. As Sigmund Freud's nephew and the father of modern public relations, Bernays wasn't just theorizing, he was sharing trade secrets from a career spent manipulating public opinion for governments and corporations. What makes this slim volume particularly chilling is its candid admission of what many suspected but couldn't prove, that an invisible government of elites consciously shapes our thoughts, desires, and behaviors. Bernays argues this manipulation isn't just inevitable, but necessary for society to function. Without propaganda to organize and simplify our choices, he suggests, democracy would collapse into chaos. Before World War I, propaganda was a neutral term. The war transformed both its meaning and application forever, as governments systematically deployed media techniques to generate war enthusiasm. Once peace arrived, propaganda professionals quickly found new clients in corporate America, applying their persuasive techniques to commercial purposes. The period between the Versailles Treaty and the 1929 crash saw these experts aggressively marketing their services, making grandiose claims that their science would not merely enrich corporations, but advance civilization itself. Modern propaganda operates through group psychology, which differs fundamentally from individual psychology. Drawing from scholars like Trotter, Laban, and Lippmann, Bernays notes that crowds exhibit heightened suggestibility and emotional reactivity, traits that persist even when people are alone. People often misunderstand their own motivations, rationalizing emotional decisions with logical explanations. For instance, someone might cite reliability when buying a luxury car while truly seeking status. Effective propagandists must recognize these hidden drivers rather than surface-level justifications. This psychological insight explains Bernays' powerful techniques. Rather than direct advertising, he created frameworks that made products seem essential. He sold pianos by promoting the concept of music rooms in homes. For cigarettes, he organized Torches of Freedom marches where women smoked during suffrage parades, linking cigarettes to female empowerment. By shaping the cultural context, he made product adoption feel like a personal choice rather than a response to marketing. Democracy's great political problem, according to Bernays, is how to induce leaders to lead when they're conditioned to follow public opinion. The solution? Leaders must shape the very public opinion they claim to follow. As British Prime Minister Disraeli cynically noted, "I must follow the people. Am I not their leader?" Modern politicians employ archaic propaganda methods, while business has continuously refined theirs. Political campaigns waste enormous resources on ineffective techniques. One speaking tour cost $15.27 per potential vote changed, an efficiency no business would tolerate. Politicians understand the public, but lack the skills of public relations experts. Bernays advocates creating a Secretary of Public Relations in the President's cabinet, not a mere press agent, but a trained technician who interprets the people to the government and vice versa. This would enable intelligent leadership that can regiment and guide the masses through education and dramatization of important issues. This vision reveals the fundamental tension in Bernays' work. He simultaneously champions democracy while arguing that elites must manipulate public opinion for society to function properly. Is this truly democracy, or something else entirely? The early 20th century marked a pivotal shift in business-public relations. Previously operating independently, businesses now had to partner with public opinion, a stark contrast to the muckraking era when journalists exposed corporate misdeeds. By the late 1920s, mass production necessitated active demand creation through advertising and propaganda. Modern businesses needed to carefully craft their entire public image, from labor policies to architecture, employee conduct to executive reputation. public relations specialists emerge to interpret corporate purposes and align them with public expectations. Rather than superficial PR, businesses needed authentic engagement. Indirect approaches often proved most effective, like luggage manufacturers addressing railroad handling practices instead of targeting consumers directly. This revolution fundamentally transformed capitalism. Businesses now had to manufacture demand through psychological techniques, giving birth to the modern consumer economy. Propagandists adapt to evolving communication channels as their effectiveness shifts over time. While public meetings once dominated, they later gave way to automobiles, radio, and newspapers competing for public attention. Public relations success stems from creating genuine newsworthy events. Magazines differ from newspapers by curating content around specific themes, health, gardens, fashion, becoming specialized propagandist platforms. Radio emerged as a vital medium, while motion pictures served as powerful propaganda vehicles by standardizing ideas through popular culture. Throughout all media, personality remains crucial. The public naturally seeks human faces representing organizations. Though audiences grow more aware of propaganda techniques, Bernays argues they'll remain responsive to reasonable appeals and basic human desires for food, entertainment, beauty, and leadership. Propaganda will never die out, he concludes. Intelligent men must realize it is the modern instrument by which they can fight for productive ends and help bring order out of chaos. Bernays presents propaganda as a neutral tool that can serve either beneficial or harmful ends, likening the propagandist to ethical professionals like doctors or lawyers who apply specialized knowledge to solve problems. However, a core tension exists between propaganda and democratic ideals. While democracy assumes citizens can make rational, informed decisions about governance, propaganda deliberately shapes public opinion through campaigns that often operate subconsciously. Bernays argues that propaganda brings necessary order to an overwhelmingly complex modern society by simplifying choices and channeling public desires. Yet this framing overlooks the self-interest of those wielding these techniques and their power to define society's productive directions. His work for the United Fruit Company exemplifies this ethical contradiction. Through sophisticated media manipulation, including staged press tours and strategic story placement, Bernays helped generate public support for the CIA-backed overthrow of Guatemala's democratically elected government in 1954, prioritizing American corporate interests over Guatemalan self-determination. Nearly a century after Bernays wrote his manual, his techniques have grown more sophisticated through modern technology and psychology. Social media algorithms, targeted advertising, and PR firms now employ his methods with unprecedented precision and effectiveness. Understanding persuasion mechanics provides some immunity against manipulation. We must question who controls these tools and what interests they serve, while considering whether democracy can survive when public opinion becomes an engineered product. When you feel a sudden desire for a product or emotional response to news, pause and ask, "Is this truly my own thought?" In a world of sophisticated persuasion, critical thinking isn't just an intellectual exercise, it's our defense against manufactured consent.